Oh, good morning. Let's stand up this morning. I just want you to reach out your hands towards me, sending God's grace. We just receive your blessing for everyone today, your power in your word, and we thank you for a breakthrough in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We had missed one Sunday, and of course, I was trying to prepare to teach on something on Christmas. And so I'm going to deal with the birth of Christ, and I'm going to talk about how we can see within the first coming of Christ something profound, God's profound, exact timing. Now, one of the things we need to understand is God does everything in his exact timing. Now, that doesn't always mean that we're cooperating with God. Most of the time, we have no clue. We don't understand God's exact timing. But when we're called, we begin to learn how to surrender to God's perfect timing. And of course, Christ is our example. So the story of Christ's birth reveals many things about God, many important things about God, and how he works in the realm of time. Okay. This started to really open up my eyes when I learned about God's exact timing. And the fact that it's irrefutable, the reality of how God designed time. You know. So here's a couple thoughts for you to start out. Now I want you to concentrate on what I'm saying. We see from the book of Genesis the exactness that God set in the planets on their orbits, and of course we know in a simplistic idea that the certainty of the planets, they govern night and day, just in a simple way, because I don't understand it all. But you can set your time, they set all time on the movements of the exact movements of the planets. What I want you to understand is their exact movements of night and day are reliable. Just like God is reliable. Okay, we can set our watch on the fact that, you know, they tell you on your phone when the sun is going to set and when it's going to come up. We know that the moon is going to come up. The sun is going to go down and the moon is going to go up. Now, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but through God's design, we can see the reliability of his exactness. We can rely on it. Okay, the sun is going to set, the moon is going to rise, the planets are going to move in their orbits. They are going to determine signs and seasons in the earth. And it is a consistent act of God to show us how reliable in the natural He is in the spiritual. Okay, we can base our existence on it. We can base our life on it. Okay, so we see from the book of Genesis the exactness that God set in planets and their orbits that govern night and day, time and seasons, and gives us a visible understanding of how God governs in His exact timing for every purpose under heaven. Now, Romans 1:20 says this. Let's go to Romans 1:20. Lord, help us understand this. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Okay, the planets were made. They were set in motion as a testimony to God's exact timeliness. Okay. So, by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, now I don't fully understand all of it, and I don't claim to, but I know the sun was supposed to come up today, even though the clouds cover it, and the moon will come up tonight. There'll be winter, and there are different seasons by the rotation of the planets. And that will obviously continue to happen until the world ends. And it speaks of God's certainty and reliability. Now, there's a lot of things going on in the world that are happening that we cannot base any reliability whatsoever. None. Okay. Now, let me just put it this couple things. I mean, I've got several examples of different things, but I'll hold off on those right now. Let's look at Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now I want to talk about the fullness of time. What does that mean? When Jesus, in His first coming, appeared on earth in a miraculous virgin birth, all the fullness of time simply means that all the prophecies that were foretold about Him were fulfilled. All the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in exact detail. Although they were told hundreds of years beforehand how exactly they would be fulfilled. Now, I looked at one thing where you could, 70 main prophecies. There were more than that. Don't misunderstand me. 70 main prophecies were fulfilled in exact detail. can't be denied. It's undeniable. So the fullness of time. And then the other point that I wish I would have put a little more in writing on it, but Hebrews 1:1-4 talks about the first coming of Jesus. And it says, God, who in different times and in diverse manners spoke in times past. Now, God was always speaking unto the fathers by the prophets, and they were foretelling the first coming of Christ. Now, let's go to verse 2. Has in these last days, now, spoken unto us by his Son. When did the last days start? At Jesus' first coming. The last days have been going on for 2,000 years. We've identified the time that they started, the exact time that they started. God takes his time. Okay. In these last days, God now has chosen to speak to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. All things. And by whom he made the worlds. Boy, that's somebody I can trust. You know that all things were created by him and for him. And without him, not anything made that was made. Reliability, certainty. There is no question marks about creation and how it came about and how God did it. And how he fulfilled his purpose in it. Okay. In these last days, God has spoken through his Son. Let's go to verse 3. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things, upholding all things. How are things going to be held together? By the word of his power, when he himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, he sat down because obviously we've been over this many times. He did a reliable, finished work that we can depend on without a doubt. What he did is reliable. It's just as reliable in the temporal or the spiritual when the moon is going to come up tonight. As long as the earth remains, that moon, even though in Michigan we don't see much of it, it's going to come up. It is speaking to us again about God's certainty, God's reliability, the promise of God's word, that we can trust without a doubt. Okay. Let's look at verse, purged our sins, sat down. Let's look at verse 4 on that one, Hebrews 4. Being made so much better than angels, as he has by his inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Okay, well, but that is... So if you want to know when the last days started, they started 2,000, probably approximately 2,000 years ago. And of course, they're going to end with the second coming of Christ. Now, don't get me going on that, because say first coming, second coming. You'll catch on one of these days. But I stick with the word. Now, Mark 1, verse 15. If we could look at Mark 1, verse 15, I believe it is. And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So that was part of the fulfillment of Jesus' coming. It was fulfilled. His first coming was fulfilled. And he called men to repentance, to believe the truth, the real truth of the gospel. I don't have a problem at all with the idea that, you know, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there could have been millions of years. And I'm not going to get into all that. There's good teaching on that, by the way. So, but don't be confused by evolution. We didn't come into being by evolution. We came into being by the certainty of God's creation. That's why we exist as humans. Please don't ever believe a lot of nonsense that, and now the whole idea of, you know, that we came from aliens and now they're going to reveal themselves to us. And you want to trust that? It's insane. And so you'll hear a lot of all that now. People caught away. I read one article where the guy spent 35 years trying to figure out who assassinated JFK. Why would you want to? God knows who assassinated the man. And there's a million different theories. We don't base anything whatsoever on a theory, but on the certainty of who Christ is and what he did. That will stand the test of time and eternity. And that's the only thing that's reliable. That's the only thing that will stand. Your birth and the days of your life came about in God's perfect timing in order for you to fulfill his purpose, even though, you know, when I was born, I didn't understand all that. And I had to catch on to it, and then I had to learn to obey the reliability of God's perfect timing for my life. I had to come to a place where I desire to fulfill God's perfect timing for my life. Of course, time's running out now, but I, you know, that's why the scripture says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our heart to wisdom. Now we can see that God designed days. You know, that's why the scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We need to give him his rightful place in the day that he has made. It's not our day. It's His day. And we need to live within His purpose in that day. You see, we need to acknowledge Him for who He is and what He's done. He created us. He created the time and seasons we would live. He created the days that we would live in. I'm certain that tomorrow's another day. There can be no denial of it. Until heaven and earth passes away, we're living in days. His mercies are new every morning. Let's look at Genesis 8:22 just for a minute. We'll go on. But if we can, I know I sent these up late, but Genesis 8:22. And if we can't find them, that's fine. I think while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Look at how consistent that will be. While the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So when somebody tries to tell us we're going into a nuclear winter, you know, that's not what the Bible teaches. There'll always be as long as the earth remains, okay? There's the certainty that God gives us that times and seasons will be governed and remain the same. And then in Genesis 9, another thing, when you look up at the rainbow, this is not a gay symbol that Satan is trying to distort. And the rainbow reminds us that God made a covenant with the earth and with the people in the earth that He would never flood the earth again from the first flood. Okay. How reliable is that rainbow when we see it? It is God speaking a promise. Okay. I can rely on that promise. And that rainbow reminds us of that promise. That there is not going to be another universal flood. God has spoken, and we will see that rainbow and the reliability of what God has spoken until heaven and earth will pass away. We'll see that rainbow. So when you look at that bow in the cloud, what you're looking at is the truth of God's promises. That they're reliable. Okay. We can trust them. We can trust what He promises. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Verse 14, And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. I think there might be a, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. So he made an everlasting covenant. Okay. And then God said unto Noah, this is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. So we got a covenant here. All flesh has a covenant that he made. Obviously, not all flesh will recognize him in his covenant. Rainbow. And life isn't somewhere over the rainbow, by the way. Life isn't a question mark. It's a period. So your timing, you know, your timing, and so we can see a lot of things. We can see the eternal power of the Godhead in the temporal world. We can see it. Okay. Just for instance, here's the seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest was to reflect his eternal power and Godhead. That's why the Bible tells us, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. This is an eternal, this is a promise from God. This is not governed by the wicked, by their wicked ways, by their governing, trying to control all the wealth of the planet. What I'm trying to tell you is that nobody can stop the fulfillment of God's promises. No matter how much they're trying to make us fear, they can't stop it. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Here's a promise outside of the world system is what I'm trying to tell you. Most of the time we're trapped in the world system and their fear and their thinking. But when God makes a promise, it's outside of the influence of the world system. Okay. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Who is going to add them? Who made that promise? God made that promise. Who can stop God from fulfilling his promise if we put our faith in him? No one but us. We can hinder it through our unbelief. And I find it to be totally true, and I purpose to seek God first. And you know what? I get up in the morning and all the needs are met, and they will always be met. There is no shortage in the kingdom of heaven. Man creates shortage. Man creates fear. Man creates uncertainty. Man creates threats. Man tries to distort the truth of God's eternal power and Godhead in our life. Okay, and just trying to make you think a little bit. Now, I'm trying to understand all this myself, but I rest every day in the assurance that if I seek first the kingdom, all my needs are going to be met. And guess what? All my needs are met. Okay. The hand of Jesus is the hand which rules our times and regulates our life clock. Psalm 31:15 says, "My times are in thy hand." They're not in Satan's hand. They're not in the world system. They're in the hand of God. "Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me." Now, Satan does everything he can to destroy our faith in God and his purpose for our life. That I know. His hand is the one. Now, when he purposes something, I had some scriptures on my phone, that said, when he purposes something, who can stop it? Nobody. When he makes a promise, who can stop that promise but us and our unbelief? It would be foolish for us to believe that any earthly authority or conditions could or would stop God's purposes from being fulfilled. Isaiah 43:13 says this, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who will hinder it?" Say it with me. I will work, and who can hinder it? You know, you and I are on this earth to fulfill his eternal purpose. If I didn't believe that God could do that, I believe he can do it. Isaiah 14:27. Let's look at that one just for a moment. "For the Lord of hosts has purpose." Those are the scriptures I was looking for there. He has purpose, and who shall disannul? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who could steal your salvation? Who could possibly steal your eternal security? It's impossible. It's something that is in your heart. No one can take it from you. Okay. I'm grateful for the certainty of who Jesus Christ is and that I can rely on him, just as I can rely on the sun and the moon and the stars and the seed time and harvest. That ain't going nowhere. And men try to create fear and lack and uncertainty. But when you know who Jesus is, there is no uncertainty in your life. Or at least you begin to lose that uncertainty. What's going to happen in the world? Well, in the world, you're going to see trouble. I was looking at something where they were showed all these, what happened in North Carolina and the terrible calamities in Florida. And in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But, you know, aren't you glad that we have the certainty of eternal certainty? So we see that Herod, the supreme authority on earth at the time of Jesus' birth, tried to kill Jesus. If you read the account, I mean, the devil will use especially authorities. To try and destroy your walk with God. But his time was in the Father's hand. And here's what Jesus said about Herod. John 10, 17 and 18. Let's just look at that for a moment. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Let's look at verse 18, if we could. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Now, I'm not denying the fact that, you know, Jesus was martyred, obviously, on the cross. And there are times that people are martyred, but they voluntarily lay it down. There have been times where, you know, I have witnessed his divine protection, because it wasn't my time. And I should have died at that time. I have more than 9 lives. Unbelievable. That's why I am so strong on angels. I see angels. There are times that I have talked to angels. I don't pray to them, but I've had them bring messages. I was, you know, and people, they think you're weird, you know. I have pictures on my phone of angels, and I just pretty much try and keep that all quiet, because people won't believe it. I had an angel. Well, I won't get into that, because it's too dramatic. I'm so close to angels. I really am. It's just amazing. Jesus was close to angels. They came and ministered to him. That ever happened to you today that people would think you're crazy? But yet they'll believe in aliens. And the truth, the certainty is that, you know, God assigned angels, a numeral company of them. That's really the truth and what we can rely on. Psalm 91. Well, we won't get into all that this morning, or we won't get through the rest of our message, because angels are a certainty of the kingdom of God and the promises of God, period. So let me just say it this way, that, you know, again, no one could shorten Jesus' life until he voluntarily laid it down. And so God, let me just reiterate, we probably won't go over all this, but God does everything from, now get this, and I know you already know it, but I'm trying to really hit home on this as much as I understand it. God does everything from the beginning of creation to the end of the world in his exact timing, just like Jesus' birth was in his exact timing. Your birth was in his exact timing. It only took me 70 years to figure out how to cooperate in his exact timing, you know. Now, And so I did a whole thing on unconditional surrender, yielding to God's exact timing. Now, the prosperity gospel is self-centered. The true gospel is God-centered. And that's what the difference of what's going on right now. It's all about you instead of submitting your life to God's eternal purpose for your life. Now, let me just... So he does everything from the beginning to the end in his exact timing, whether we understand that or not, he does that. His second coming will come at his exact timing. He isn't going to change his mind on that. Once he comes, he comes. And I'm glad he's coming. Now, one other scripture I just want to go over here real quick. Do I still have your attention, or we'll just quit. Now, Jesus helps us understand that he understood completely, perfectly, God's exact timing. We can look at that in the account of on the road to Emmaus when he appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. I just want to say something to somebody. God cares about the timing and purpose of your life just equally as he does anyone else. Sometimes you feel like you were left out. And I just pray that, you know, God heals that in our life. So he explains God's exact timing to his disciples, whether they understood it or not, on the road to Emmaus. Let's look at it for a minute before we close. Luke 24:13 through 26. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 score furlong. Help me there. I don't know how. I wouldn't know how far it was. I thought maybe somebody said it was 7 miles or something along that line. Yeah. Let's look at verse 14. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, I don't want to spend my whole life trying to reason life out. I want Jesus to appear, his spirit, and give me the certainty of his purpose in my life. And then verse 16 says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Lord, open our eyes. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? So what was their conversation after the crucifixion and all that went on there? I don't think at times it was really understood. Let's look at verse 18. And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Now, they were talking, they didn't recognize Jesus at that point. Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet and mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Let's go to verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain of the women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also been seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. There's your angels again. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. That we're dealing with the certainty of the resurrection now. Okay, are we in the right verse? Then said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Say, all the prophets have spoken. Because they foretold his death and resurrection, but it was not understood by most people. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Let's go to the next verse. Or was that the last one? Was that the last one? I'm sorry, I got the whole thing a little bit, most of it. It's a wrong reference in a sense. I apologize. I didn't think that that would happen. But he tells the fulfillment of all, he reminds them of all the prophecies that were spoken about him and reminds them of their fulfillment. If somebody can find that somewhere, I don't know where it is. We were in the wrong place. Well, that's consistent with verse 27. Let's go there. But it okay. And beginning, okay, here it is. Okay, here it is. Thank you, Charlene. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning what? Himself. Now he's explaining the fulfillment of the prophets about him. just like we can explain the fulfillments of the prophets about us. Okay. I don't know if there's another verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and made as though would have gone further. Verse 29, if there is. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is spent. And they went to tarry with him. Okay, we'll stop right there, because he fully understood his first coming and God's timing to fulfill all the events that were foretold prior to his first coming. And really, it can be the same with us. But let me just, it's our responsibility to recognize, you know, our first coming, so to speak, our calling, our birth, our life, our death, our eternal salvation. We need to understand all that. Okay. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have, and I won't go any further with it, but I just had the scriptures out of Hebrews about the children of Israel and how they were called to the promised land. We all know that. And they fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. Now, I don't want to be that person, right? You don't want to be that person. You want to fulfill God's timing for your life. You weren't born in vain, and God did not redeem you in vain. God called you to fulfill his eternal purpose. We need to learn how to recognize and yield to his purpose and glorify him in fulfilling our purpose. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to do. I'm not advocating. I've done it perfectly through my life. But I don't want to miss his eternal timing for my life, his temporal timing for his eternal purpose in my life, right? Okay. You know, we're not rolling the dice right now. We're in the certainty of God's purpose for our life. Let's stand up this morning. Lord, thank you for time and your purpose in it and our fulfillment of it in your calling for our life. Just open our understanding to this, and thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. I just speak to you today that the power of the Holy Spirit would move upon you, move within you, move through you, break through your circumstance, and bring the same power that raised Christ from the dead into your situation. And we just receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Praise Thank you Lord. For your undivided attention.
Thank you, Jesus. Just remember, we have people up here if you need prayer.